Okay, so welcome to our April coffee break. This time we are going to be talking about community self-assessment for creating aging-friendly communities in Wisconsin. And today, three of our Wisconsin educators are going to be sharing some information about the Creating Aging-Friendly Communities initiative. This is information that they'll also be sharing at the National Health Outreach Conference coming up in May, which we're really thrilled about. And it's also been submitted to the Journal of Family and Consumer Sciences for an upcoming issue that they'll be having on the theme of caregiving across the life course. So we're hopeful that we will be able to get some scholarly information disseminated through that avenue as well. The content here, many of you are probably familiar with our Creating Aging-Friendly Communities initiative. These have been going on since 2010, 2011. And several communities have seen some success using these initiatives, but they haven't been used as much as we would like. And so the Creating Aging-Friendly Communities Work Group, UW Extension, created a facilitation guide to help educators be able to use these programs and create programming that works for their communities around these initiatives. And so that is what our guest speakers will be talking about today. So with that, I am going to throw it out to our lovely guest speakers, Karen Dickrell from Outagamie County, Jane Jensen from Sheboygan County, and Sarah Ritchie from Oneida, Vilas, and Forest Counties. And you guys can take it from here. Thank you for being with us.
All right. Thank you, Kristen. This is Sarah, so I'll just jump right in. We'll be following along with the handout that Libby sent out with the announcement. So we'll just start with those charts. So to give you an idea of how life expectancy and population has and will change over time, there are a couple of charts that we'll review from the handout today's coffee break. The first chart shows how our life expectancy at birth has increased over the years. In 1900, the average life expectancy was only 47 years old, and in 2009, the average life expectancy was about 78 years old. So we are living more than 30 years longer today. The second chart shows the population by age 60 and over projected up to the year 2050. So as you can see on this chart, not only are people living longer, but each of the age categories gets larger as the years pass. Within two decades, approximately one in every five Wisconsin residents will be age 65 or older. For many rural counties, particularly in the northern part of our state, this is already the case. By 2040, the older population in some rural counties will be between 27 and 43%. At least 45 counties are projected to have more than a quarter of their residents age 65 and older, and virtually all 72 counties are projected to have 65 and older populations that make up at least 17% of their population. The age wave is hitting Wisconsin, and our communities need the resources and tools to be prepared. Despite what people believe, only a minority of older adults actually move to warmer climates upon retirement. Most remain in their homes and communities as they age. In fact, the majority of people retire where they spend their final years of employment. With this in mind, every community, rural or urban, will need to adapt to an increasingly older population. So a primary goal for community-level planning efforts should be to create environments that are aging-friendly, so creating a community where people can live their entire lives rather than having to relocate when they experience a personal change in health or functioning that accompany later life. The Creating Aging-Friendly Communities team decided to create a facilitation guide to accompany the existing Aging-Friendly Communities survey that assesses a community's aging friendliness. Our team already knew that the survey was a useful tool, but there was no additional guidance or resources for colleagues on what to do after the survey was conducted in their communities. So the purpose of the facilitation guide is to help extension educators inform and engage community leaders about changing demographics of our communities, invigorate discussion and planning about how communities can adapt to the changing needs. The educator's role is to make the information meaningful to community leaders, plant the seeds of how they might act upon the information provided, and provide resources to help community leaders follow through to enact community-level and policy-level changes. The goal is not to create or add more extension-led programming, but to help communities prioritize and make changes at the systems level. So our Creating Aging-Friendly Communities Facilitation Guide is set up to walk you through the process of engaging with your community on the importance of embracing the age wave and developing an aging-friendly, livable community. The guide is designed to be flexible, so sort of like a choose-your-own-adventure, because we know that not all communities have the same needs or resources. The facilitation guide will walk you through what you need to think about and how to present the information to your community. So if you visit the Supporting an Aging State blog site, the facilitation guide is under the Tools tab. When you open that tab, you will see the different sections of the toolkit. There are sections about the guide, Are You Ready?, so assessing your community's readiness, using the survey, some background information, the survey tool itself, characteristics of an aging-friendly community, evaluation and impacts, and resources and templates. This is a working document, so we will continue to add tools and resources as they're developed by our team and other colleagues around the state. So one of the areas that I'm going to highlight for today's discussion are the 13 characteristics that are looked at in the Aging Friendly Communities Survey. So as you can see on the second page of the handout, these categories are listed. So housing, transportation, accessibility, parking, sidewalks, community and healthcare services, family caregiving, nutrition and wellness, arts, culture, and lifelong learning, employment and workforce development, public safety and emergency planning, respect and inclusion, community connectedness and civic engagement, taxation, finance, and protection against fraud, and community leadership and intergenerational programming. So under each of the category, the survey lists different characteristics and asks community members to rank them 1 through 5. So 1 being none, 5 being all. So for example, I'll use housing. The characteristics listed are housing options, so do you have assisted living? Are they available and affordable? Affordable housing for older adults, skilled home modification and home repair services that are available and affordable to residents, home maintenance services such as backyard trash pickup, housing codes that meet the needs of older population. So that's just sort of an example of how the survey looks. So after participants fill out the survey on all 13 of the characteristics, they'll rank the top 4 characteristics that they believe their community should address. And this is where the facilitation guide will help the process move forward. Under the characteristics tab of the facilitation guide, each of the 13 characteristics are listed, and all of them include a description of the characteristic, data for discussion, activities that you can do with your group, success stories from around the state, additional resources, and ideas for next steps. So as mentioned before, we'll continue to add new information to the facilitation guide. It's just going to be a working document. So if you have a tool that you've used in your community or a success story, we'd love to, for you to share it with us so that we can add it to our facilitation guide. So now that I've just kind of given you a brief overview of the guide and the characteristics, I'll let Jane talk about engaging the community and her work in Sheboygan County.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. Good morning to everybody. And I'll be framing my remarks this morning around the 5 questions on your handout in terms of my work with the Age-Friendly Livable Task Force with the city of Sheboygan. So as you think about, are you ready, you know, preparing to engage your community, every community has very different needs and goals. So as you prepare for this process, you know, whether you're approaching a particular coalition, group of leaders, or whether they've reached out to you to initiate the process, which was my experience, they reached out to me, a couple of things to consider. And I'm really new to the local process, and this is the city of Sheboygan not the entire county, but the city of Sheboygan, as I was just asked to join this particular group for their last two meetings. So just really new to this process. And the Age-Friendly Livable Task Force with the city of Sheboygan joined the AARP network of age-friendly communities in August of 2017. So in other words, they applied, submitted an application to join that network. So what that really means is that the community's elective leadership has made the commitment to actively work toward making their community a great place for people of all ages. So when we talk about a livable community, so membership in that network doesn't mean that the community is currently age-friendly, but that they've made a commitment to actively work towards that. So when we look at the who, and we talk about the questions, who are you working with, you know, what does your community want, why does your community want to undertake this process, is now the right time, have they identified a champion, are the right people at the table? So I'll frame my remarks, as I said, around these particular questions. So the who, in the case with the city of Sheboygan, and I'll really talk about initially the champions are really the mayor, the city administrator, and also the executive director of the Senior Activities Center in the city of Sheboygan. And these leaders are really owning the process, and in particular, the director of the Senior Activities Center really leads the group forward. In essence, you know, when we talk about, I think, whole notion of collective impact, she's really the backbone in terms of agenda, calling the meetings, and keeping the process moving forward. She has a terrific commitment to that. But also then when we look at who's around the table, it includes some of these important players, some of those folks that really have the ability to make decisions, to establish policy or work with establishing policies. So Director of Transportation, Planning Department, et cetera, but also other folks important to have around the table, the Aging Disability Resource Center, a large city library, adjunct faculty from Lakeland University, and also they're keeping all city department heads informed as they move forward. And the why, as they looked at this initiative for the city of Sheboygan, is wanting the city to be livable for people of all ages, you know, in terms of young people staying as employees, as active members of the community. And they reached out to me as part of UW Extension, Sheboygan County, because of UW Extension's experience, I think, with needs assessment, data collection, prioritizing community action as resources are limited, and in particular, being aware of our toolkit, our assessment tool. And this is really a five-year process. So this group is really early on in that year one, two planning assessment phase, and they're really interested in our survey for feedback from city residents. It aligns very well with the eight domains that AARP has established, and of course is much shorter than the AARP tool, which was, my gosh, I think 16 pages long, something like that. And so this assessment tool really helped with the establishment of those priorities as we work to develop the action plan, because I think if you've heard if everything is a priority, then nothing is a priority with limited resources. They're also interested in conducting listening sessions and have asked me to weigh in on that, particularly the Senior Activity Center director, and their Activities Center, of course, receives substantial funding from the city, so very intricate part of this process. And since we're pretty early on, I think they absolutely, this was the right time. They were prepared. They were ready. I know I've shared data in the past in terms of the aging of our community, et cetera, but sometimes all stars, moons, and planets need to align, you know, before it becomes the right time. And I will continue to work with this process as we assess city residents and move forward in this process. And so, and also AARP is a big player in this process. So I know that they have, there's someone from AARP that has been working, with the group. So not that I convened the group, but that I think UW Extension has important resources to add to the process. So it's really exciting that we're at the table. And I will hand the discussion off to Karen, who will share some amazing results that have occurred in Outagamie County.
Thank you. Thanks, Jane and Sarah and Kristen. Good morning, everyone. So in Outagamie County, this was a process. And as several people have said, it just doesn't happen. We plant seeds and then we don't know what's going to sprout. And so there's a lot of growth and building relationships. And some of the things that have happened, I don't know if it's because Extension was there or not, but we're happy that we are. And we're seeing that there are some changes happening in our community. One of the things that happened, I think in 2012, was Community Foundation saw that we had all these aging needs and all these agencies were doing everything, but it wasn't coordinated. So they called together a think tank on aging issues. And from that, we created a group because of the facilitated discussion and what we heard as the criteria and the needs. And it's called the Outagamie Caregiver Coalition. It does not have the word county in it anymore because that became a controversy that it wasn't a county program, but in terms of government sponsoring this. So there's politics that come into this sometimes, and you work around it and you make it fit for what your big goals are and looking at what you want to have as outcomes. So the coalition includes people like the ADRC, which is a county department, the Aging Disability Resource Center, Lutheran Social Services. We have for-profit and non-profit groups that are caregivers, home visitor programs. We have the healthcare system there. And this group is pretty liquid because people change jobs quite often. And they may come to the meeting 1 month and they're working for somebody, and the next month they've moved on to another group, but they're still part of the coalition. We have a chiropractor office that has outreach. A real estate agent has come because she's specializing in homes and then placement of people in different housing. So housing has come up quite a bit. We have occupational therapists. We have WisconsibS, which is looking at handicapped family members and how do we care for them as they grow older. So it started as a group, and we decided we had to have some projects. So one of the first projects we did was a caregiver cafe, which is based on World Cafes. So we developed special questions for caregivers to look at what their needs are, what their support systems are, and also to think about some of the resources that are available in Outagamie County for them to tap. And so we've developed this over time. We've done it in churches. We did it at Brewster Village here, which is a county-run facility. We've done it with a caregiver holiday group, getting ready for the holidays. We've done it at Senior Fest. And our latest attempt is people haven't been coming to us so much because they're busy. Caregivers are busy. So we're going to go to them. So we went to the Fox River Mall and did some research with the walkers that come to the mall in the morning. And so now our plan, again, they're plans. You never know what's going to take root. But our plan is to once a month have a caregiver cafe where we have resources out. So people come, they're going to do their walking. And then at the end of their walk, they're invited to come stop and have a cup of coffee with us and have some time to look for resources and talk about what their needs are and how we connect them in the community. We've also done as a caregiver group the appreciation events, and we've done strategic planning to think about what's the best use of the limited resources that we do have. We're also evaluating our efforts. So what? We're doing this. So what long-term impacts? And that's been hard to measure. I'm very frank about that. But in my Hortonville example, that I'll get into it just next, we are seeing some results. So we strive to be the go-to entity as a caregiver coalition, and every once in a while there's little groups that'll sprout out because they're new and they don't know that we exist. And so we try not to be competitive with one another, and that's been part of the challenge too, because we have for-profit and non-for-profit and education and government all working together with a common goal. And so we sometimes have to revisit our vision and our mission and make sure that everyone's on the same page. So the needs assessments were very important to us in empowering the volunteers, and we've had leadership development in that as well. What also happened another program is in Hortonville. Hortonville is west of Appleton. It's a small community that they sent representatives to our 2013 Aging Friendly Communities program. We did it with Calumet and Outagamie when Terry Zeke Halverson was still in Calumet County. And so Hortonville sent some representatives, and everybody participated, and we did the strategies and looking at what the categories were and the surveys. And then they went back to Hortonville, and I didn't hear from them. And I kind of thought, okay, well, we planted a seed. I don't know if it's going to germinate or not. Well, about a year, maybe 14 months later, I got this phone call from a village board member saying, Karen, we want you to come and talk about that program. And I went, Al, what program are you referring to? And it was the Aging Friendly Communities. So with that, they named an aging task force, and the village clerk was very involved, and then this village committee member, and we had planning meetings, and they were building a new community hall. So they wanted the seniors to use it more, which was part of their outreach. And with that, and it's not been, you know, easy street all the way through, but we have seen more social activities. There's been more outreach. We've seen leadership skills evolve from the groups that have now, there's a committee now that's appointed by the village board that is specifically working on senior task efforts. We used to meet monthly. I'm appointed as an ex officio member. And now we're going down to quarterly meetings just to touch base and see what we're doing. But Al, that guy that called me from the village board, is now president of the board. And one of our committee members ran for village board this week and was elected. So we're seeing that there's some trends here of people gaining confidence and taking leadership in their community. So some of the simple things I have on that handout there, food seems to draw people. That was one of the things they started with. So they have a potluck every month for the seniors with card games and things to follow. They have a birthday club. And it took us 2 years, but we now have a meal site in Hortonville. It's not at the community center because it tied up the room too much because the room was too busy now. So we had to find another site for the meal site. I offered the Taking Care workshop. We had 14 participants this January, February. And it wasn't the people that have been coming to the programs. It was newly retired people. So we're starting to build some new bases and outreach. The Strong Bones program is offered by the ADRC in Hortonville, and they also offer the Stepping On. I never realized toenails were so critical, but it took us 3 months. But we have a foot clinic now, and we're seeing that there's more outreach to the Hortonville area, which has been really important. We've had 3 successful senior autumn fests where we have a speaker, a lunch, and a resource fair. We had Social Security as our topic this year. Next year it's going to be Veteran Services and how to connect with Veteran Services. We also worked with a program through Lutheran Social Services that's called Making the Ride Happen. And they did a survey at our senior autumn fest to find out what kind of transportation needs were needed. And as a result, we have a volunteer driving program that has been augmented into Hortonville. So we're seeing that more people are having transportation available and being able to connect with the resources, get to their medical appointments, and participate in more things in the community. And last fall, it's been a while in the making, but the village board approved the zoning, and there's a new assisted living building that is built very close to the community center there. And so we're seeing the possibilities. The new director from there is now joining the committee to look at what kind of activities they can incorporate with the assisted living facility. So did Extension do it all? No. But we brought people together and decision makers, and I think that was really important with those needs assessments we did. We've empowered volunteers. I've never gone to one of the birthday or potluck events. I just hear about it. The volunteers are running that. We've seen the leadership development with more people rising from the community that are in their 50s, 60s, coming to light of taking ownership of their community. And as I said, food seems to draw us. So turn it back to Sarah for closing questions.
Yeah. Thank you, Jane and Karen, for sharing your experiences. So I think we just kind of want to leave you with three questions to think about. So after listening to all this, do you think, is your community a good place to grow up and grow old? Will your community meet your needs when you are 65, 75, 85, 95, and even 105? If not, what can you do now to begin to make your community a friendly and supportive environment for people of all ages? So just some things to think about, and we'll take some questions for those of you that are on the line. Feel free.
Sarah, this is Kristen. Oh, I'll let someone else go. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Gail Hike calling in. Just thought I'd listen to see how your work with aligning with some of the things I'm doing, and I'm really excited. I know when I was still in the county, I had used the survey tool with a group in Price County. Barb Haynes and I had worked with it. I'm real excited about how it lines up with Jane. You're talking how it lines up with the AARP Livable Community survey, and I think this is just a much better streamlined process. One of the things that I did want to alert you to is some of your communities are starting to implement projects. I don't know if you've seen that AARP's Community Challenge grants were just posted. Those are open right now for folks to implement mini challenge projects. And their themes this year are looking at transportation, vibrant public places, parks, open spaces, access to amenities, housing, and then other community projects. So, Kristen, I just forwarded you the link to the application. I don't know if you want to get that out to folks, but just thinking of some of the great things I'm hearing you already talking about, this might be a place for folks to get a little jump start on maybe a selected project. And the exciting thing is last year was the first year they offered these challenge grants nationally. Two from Wisconsin were selected and funded. And when I had dinner with Sam Wilson, the state director of AARP, he was really excited that AARP in Wisconsin is now also going to fund a few mini projects. Folks need to go and apply through the national link and follow that timeline. Applications are due May 16th, but Wisconsin's also going to be funding some in Wisconsin above and beyond the national one. So I think it's a great opportunity to build on some of the great work that you've all been doing.
Thank you for sharing.
So this is Kristen. I wonder if you guys could talk a little bit about how the facilitation guide can be useful for someone who doesn't do this work at all yet, someone who's maybe just breaking into this area, compared to someone who is already engaged in some of this work.
Well, I think the nice thing about the toolkit is for somebody who's maybe just stepping into this work, is that because it's sort of a choose-your-own-adventure, it starts at the very beginning. So there's all sorts of state data on the age wave, information, presentations that you can give in your community. So all of the background information is there for somebody who's just coming into working in this area. And then it kind of walks you through the steps. So somebody who's coming in fresh can very easily use this guide and have all the information, and so can somebody who's been working in this for five years or more. So I think that's the nice thing about the facilitation guide, is it's really for everybody.
I think that survey is really valuable. I don't profess to have a great background in transportation and accessibility, but, you know, or sidewalks and pedestrian crossings, but those kinds of things are critical to the communities that we're working in. So if we have a background in that, you know, we can work with our other community development educators and other professionals in the community, but it helps us to have a stronger background.
And this is Jane, and I think also backing off what Karen just said, that the assessment tool is very user-friendly. It is doable. I've seen it used. We've used it in many different avenues, and it really, in a pretty compact form, based on lots of research and et cetera, in terms of what's really important for livable communities, really giving that feedback in terms of how residents view what's available in their community, because sometimes we just, you know, I think have blinders on in terms of, you know, what's available. So I know that my group here was very excited about that tool, and whether they're going to use it in its exact form, but they went, oh, okay, yeah. These are all important aspects of a livable community.
Hi, this is Renee Koenig in Kewaunee County. I have a question about using the website, so it's labeled Educator Library. Is that something that you would suggest we could also share with partners?
Well, the Educator Library is different than the Facilitation Guide. So the Facilitation Guide is under Tools, which actually I believe, Kristen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the toolkit or Facilitation Guide is only available to Cooperative Extension employees, correct?
So I actually think that I think it is actually open so that people outside of Extension can see it. I can double check with Libby on that to be sure.
Okay.
Renee, as to your question about the Educator Library, it's meant to be for Extension educators and initially Family Living educators, and now with the reorganization, that will look a little bit different. It might be useful for people in other areas as well. So as to whether you can share it out with your partners, yeah, you can, but the intent is for it to be information for our family living educators and our extension educators who are facilitating this work in communities. It is something that's visible outside of extension, I think. But I think the usefulness and utility of it comes from the educators. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because I see that it's available, you know, to anyone. So just kind of curious. You know, some of those resources are ADRC, you know, we're partnering closely with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what about when it needs updates? Should we just email you for any changes?
Yes. Please do. Mm-hmm.
You exactly, yep. Chris or Sarah?
You can email me or you can email Libby Bestel or both of us, and that will work out perfectly. If you send it to me, I will make sure that it happens. So I'm a good person for that.
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
And I'm also curious, we have a lot of great programs in our small county. Our ADRC has been great at offering a variety of things like Comfort Cafe is a form of caregiver cafe, powerful tools for caregivers. We have Journeys Club for adult daycare. We have some really awesome programming in our county, considering all the different changes our ADRC has went through in the last few years.
but we're really struggling to get participation. Our numbers are low, and we know that our population, you know, that there are people to be served. We've just tried a ton of different marketing things, and, you know, for example, we have a Powerful Tools for Caregiver class that's supposed to start next week, and I think we only have like 3 people signed up, so it might get canceled yet. It's just so challenging and frustrating to put all the work into offering those programs and then not having people participate. We almost had to cancel our comfort cafes at the coffee shop as well, because a few months we had such low numbers with like 2 people attending for a while. Now we've gotten more coming again.
For some of our programs,
really
we offer breast care, but that, you know, you have to have the right facilities and the right kind of resources to do that, too. So the respite care is offered so that the caregivers have, you know, some independence in coming and really sharing their thoughts. We've been in some settings where everybody comes together with a memory cafe, and those are very successful, but then the caregiver can't really share what they're feeling and what they need. So it is hard to get. That's why we're going to the mall. We're going to them where the people are.
We don't have a mall.
Yeah, right. But we've talked about maybe in between church services and offering something there, you know, on Sunday mornings, which not everybody wants to give up their Sunday morning. It is very difficult. And we thought doing it at Brewster Village, we'd have huge crowds, and we didn't. Because the families are there, they're being taken care of, and we thought the family members would stop in and take some time to talk with us. They walked through to look at us, but they didn't know anyone, I think, was part of the problem. So if you can get some people that are comfortable and then say, well, come and join us, it's really a good event, then we had a couple more people joining. But it's new, and people don't like to ask for help. And some don't even recognize that they're caregivers.
Right, right.
It's just, I'm supposed to do that till death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
And that is difficult with some of those kinds of programs.
And Renee, this is Jane, I just wanted to add too in Sheboygan County that what has really been important, particularly with Powerful Tools for Caregivers, et cetera, is the engagement of those INA workers at the ADRC. And that I've worked closely with our caregiver coordinator at the ADRC to make sure that, because when people call the ADRC, that's a perfect time, you know, for them to be, you know, encouraged and given those resources. So just a thought that it's really on their radar.
Yeah.
And Renee, I will say that you certainly aren't alone in those struggles, and it makes me wonder if we should make an effort to compile some of the strategies that have worked well in various counties to give people ideas of what they can try and what seems to have had success in other areas. So that's something that I will put on the radar of things that maybe the aging-friendly work group can talk about in the future as a potential project.
Mm-hmm.
And the work group will be transitioning to that the program under the Institute. So we will be able to continue that work as we go forward here.
Yeah, and this conversation kind of reminds me of, to mention, our community of practice. And if we're going to continue those calls in the future, currently our community of practice calls are at 11 a.m. on the fourth Friday of every month. And then that's where we can all kind of come together and share, brainstorm, talk about maybe what struggles we're having in our community, what worked well in other communities. So that's a good place, too, to kind of connect with people across the state that are working on some of those other aging programs, too. So just to throw a plug in for that, if you're interested in joining or being a part of our aging listserv, just let Kristen or Libby know. They can add you to that list if you're not already on there.
Yep, and you can just reply to the announcement for this particular call if you aren't already on our aging listserv or part of the group, and we can get you on the list that way. Karen, I think you were going to say something.
Yeah, I wonder if there is something for us to explore with technology and connecting people. There were some support call warm lines, I think, for caregivers that were established, and I haven't heard much about them lately. So it is hard to get people to come to programs. I hear what you're saying, Renee. To take time for themselves because they're giving so much to their loved ones. And it's not just elderly. It's people that are experiencing cancer and other health care needs, and they're going to a lot of appointments and taking care of things that they really don't have the resources to, the time to participate like they probably should, because they need to take care of themselves.
Yeah, is there still that call-in number, that caregiver call-in number? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, are they still offering that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll have to see if anyone in our group knows. We have a meeting next week.
Is that under WEHA?
I think so.
Wisconsin Institute of Healthy Aging, I think.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So you're right, I haven't heard a lot about it lately, but...
I'm just thinking with e-parenting, we've done so many I haven't been that active in it, but our programs have been really flourishing, I think, in reaching a lot of families in non-traditional ways. So this may be a challenge for us to think about how we're going to do more outreach electronically. But that, you know, it's not the answer to everything either.
Other questions from anyone on the line?
This is Barry in Iowa County, and I'm new to Extension, and I'm just trying to maybe look at your facilitation guide, and there's a button that says interested in the facilitation guide, let us know, and then it looks like you need to contact somebody. Is that correct?
You
need permission.
It should give you a Google form to fill out. If you click on that, what should happen, and maybe we didn't test this well enough, it should give you a form to fill out that just includes your name and email address, and it's just so that we know that you're interested in using it, so that if we do surveys asking people how they have used it, we can keep track of that information and use that to improve and allow for outreach for that. So if that's not working correctly, we will fix that. I will double check it.
Yeah, it says you need permission. It says this form can only be viewed by users in the owner's organization. Try contacting the owner of the form if you think this is a mistake.
Okay.
I'm getting that same
message.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me know.
This is Vivian. It works for me, but it might just be that I'm in the right organization. So, yeah, we'll check into that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm new to Extension. I've only been here for 7 weeks, so. Maybe that's the problem.
Like, could it
know.
Be your server of what you're going through?
I don't know.
Like if you try it.
It could be. I think it's something that we probably need to fix on our end, because it should be something that anyone can fill out. So, Libby, you and I can kind of workshop that this week. Thank you for letting us know that, Barry.
You're welcome.
You don't need to click that button in order to access the materials. So you can access the materials anyway. That just helps us keep track so that we can find out how people are using it.
Sounds great.
Oh, I can change it right now. It says it's restricted access to UW Cooperative Extension users. I updated it. See if it maybe works now.
It does.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, no problem.
Good work. All right. Other questions from the crowd? And Barry, welcome, by the way.
Hey, thank you.
Yes, welcome.
All right, well, I will cut us off then, because 45 minutes is plenty of time for a coffee break discussion. If you have other questions that come up, you can feel free to send those to me or directly to your speakers. But I really want to thank everybody who participated in the call, and I especially want to thank Karen, Jane, and Sarah, because this was a wonderful presentation and very informative, and I hope very helpful to the people who are on the call, and then also the people who may listen to this after the fact. So thank you so much for providing this information.
Thank you.
And So that brings us to planning for next month. So our next call is going to be that first Friday in May, and that's going to be May 4th at 11 a.m. And for that one, we are going to hear from a guest speaker, Ann Albert, about the Village Movement and how that has been having seniors help seniors, older adults help older adults throughout the country, and then also some of that is that's happening here in Dane County. So that's one I'm really excited about because it's something that I don't know much about, and I'm excited for Ann to help all of us learn a little bit more about this initiative and the way that it has been helping older adults throughout the country. So please tune in for that. And until then, I just want to thank everyone again. And again, if you have anything that I can help you with, please do contact me. Enjoy the rest of your day, and everybody have a lovely weekend. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.